This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, who praise, thanks and worship is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our love, our greetings, salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to live a life upon the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to die upon his sunnah, and to be resurrected in his companionship in the akhirah. Ameen, walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we continue part two of our series on Palestine. And as we said last week, before we talk about solutions and problems and, you know, what can we do, what should we do, we ask always, whenever there's a problem, we refer back to the Quran and the Sunnah, and we ask, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advise? And so when we look at the Quran, the ayat which are relevant to us in this current situation, we are weak, we are being harmed, we are being abused, we are being defeated, there's nothing we can do. We said, Ya Allah, we're making salah, we're making our reciting the Quran, we just fasted the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, where is your assistance? When we look at this situation, the most relevant point in the seerah, in the biography of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was after the defeat of the Battle of Uhud. Right? They have a Nabi, the best of Anbiya, and they have the best of the Ummah, the Sahaba, and still they were defeated. They lost to some degree. And after that defeat at Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat. Many of the ayat in Surah Ali Imran were revealed post-Uhud. And so this talk and last week's talk was to give us the context to the battle. But more importantly today, we want to talk about those ayat. And so it is for us to understand those ayat at a time when we are weak, when we are injured, when we are bleeding. Allah revealed the ayat to the Sahaba. When the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was injured and bleeding, Allah revealed these ayat. And so this is for us to reflect on. And so last week we began and we mentioned the battle. It was a year after the Battle of Badr. The Muslims were on a high. They defeated the Quraysh at Badr. And the Quraysh came back to retaliate. And they came with an army to invade Medina. Far superior army. And the Muslims only had 700 people against 3,000 plus. And so really when it's a fist-to-fist sword combat, really it is 4-5-1. You know, five. You have to fight four guys. I mean, you can think about it. Think about a rugby match. One team against four teams at the same time. There's no way you're going to win. And so it's very difficult. These odds are against the Muslims. But nonetheless, the Sahaba, you know, after consultation with the Nabi consulted them. They went out and they fought. They went to fight the battle. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he developed a very, very ingenious strategy. Found a place in Medina at the foot of Mount Uhud, which protected them from all angles except one side. And on that exposed area, there was a little hill, and he placed 50 archers there. And he said to the archers, you stay here and make sure the Quraysh don't come from us from behind, because we can't fight from the back and the front. You keep us safe, and then inshallah, if you stay there, then everything will go well. And the archers did their job initially, and the Muslims were winning the battle, so much so that they even managed to capture the flag of the Quraysh, so much so that they even, so the Quraysh came with their wives, their cheerleaders. The Muslims not only defeated the men ran. The women of the Quraysh were left alone on the battlefield. So you can imagine if the husbands are running and leaving their wives there, it shows you how utterly defeated they were. And they completely left the field. And then, subhanAllah, there was a fatal error. There was a fatal error amongst the archers. The archers did something which is perhaps the most important lesson for us to learn. Allah will now show why we lose, why we get defeated. It's not about our enemies. There's some very important point to list here. We have fought the Quraysh. This Ummah has fought the Quraysh and defeated them. This Ummah fought the false prophets after the Nabi and defeated them, Musaylama and all of them. The Persians made them extinct. The Romans, Byzantians, extinct. Crusaders, gone. The Turks, as much as damage they did to us, extinct. Enemy after enemy, the colonial powers, they're gone. This Deen Islam still stays. Zionists, they'll come, they'll go. Enemies will come and they will go. The lesson that we learn through history is that the problems are internal. There will always be enemies. There will always be those that mean harm to Islam externally. That's part of life. And the enemies can be strong or weak. The most important thing for us is to make sure that we are strong internally. And when we are strong internally, it doesn't matter who's against us, Allah will support us. And Allah, as He says in the Quran, وَلَقَدَ صَدَقْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. Allah says, I have fulfilled my promise to you. إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ, that you defeated them, that you beat them off with Allah's permission. Allah says, Allah's promise is you will be victorious if you do your part, O Muslims. Irrespective of your numbers, irrespective of what weapons you have. So the point is, we need to be strong internally, and then things will happen externally. And so the archers, when they obeyed Allah's command, the Muslims were victorious. Then they made a mistake. They saw the spoils of war on the ground. They saw the money. And they were told, don't leave your position. But they argued and they fought and they debated. Not fought, but they were arguing, quarreling with one another. Like we quarrel over everything here. Subhanallah. This ummah, we can't unite on anything, unfortunately. Difference of opinion on everything. We're going to have, subhanallah, when we choose, elect a leader, for example, whether it is in the masjid or whether it is wherever, there's always going to be a faction that criticizes. There's always going to be a group that opposes. Never can we stand together. And so Allah says, حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ, you were winning until you became weak. وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and you started to argue and quarrel amongst yourselves. You, O Muslims, divided and disputed over small things. Small things, subhanallah. You have an enemy out there killing your women and children, but you're arguing over petty things here. Not standing united. فِي الْأَمْرِ وَأَصَيْتُمْ, and then after that you disobeyed Allah and His Rasul. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ, when you saw what you wanted of the dunya. And so after that, so look at the things Allah says. You lost your courage, you focused on the dunya, and you argued and got divided. And when you did that, that is when the enemy could overtake you. That is when the enemy could overtake you. And not only did the enemy come back, we know that Khalid ibn Walid, this is before he was a Muslim, but radiallahu anhu, sayfullah, later on Allah will make him the greatest general in Islam's history. This time he wasn't yet a Muslim. He saw the mistake of the Muslims, and he went and he made a counter attack. We said of that 50 archers, only 10 of them remained there, and that was too few. Khalid ibn Walid climbed that mountain, killed those 10 archers, radiallahu anhum, and he killed the rest of the archers. So those archers that left, they didn't get the dunya either. And this is the lesson. You chase after the dunya at the expense of the akhirah, you don't get the dunya or the akhirah. But if you chase after the akhirah, Allah will give the dunya for free. It comes without even asking for it. And so they lost the dunya. Allah also says He forgave all the Muslims at Uhud. So, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they got the akhirah. It was a lesson for us to learn. But the most dangerous thing at this point, Khalid Walid's battalion is coming from behind. That the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was caught in this situation. And if you look at the entire biography of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I must mention this point here, never was he this exposed, so close to being killed, that at Uhud. In fact, we know for a moment there, the Sahaba believe he died. Because one of the companions, one of the Quraysh, when they killed one of the Sahaba, he thought this was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he screamed, I have killed Muhammad. And many of the Sahaba just collapsed. They just said, khalas, no, it's over. There's no point left to live in this dunya. We have lost the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found himself isolated with only 9 defenders. 9 personal guards around him. Seven of these nine were from the people of Medina, and 2 of them were from the Ashra Mubashira, the 10 best Sahaba. 2 of them, you must know their names, Sa'ad and Talha. Sa'ad and Talha. And so this 9 said, Ya Rasulullah, we need to get off, we need to go up the mountain, Uhud. And the Quraysh is chasing them, chasing the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you can imagine, like 100 people chasing after the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his 9 defenders. And as they would go, really like a scene out of, subhanAllah, a book, or, you know, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his 9 defenders are climbing the mountain. And behind them is Khalid ibn Walid and his battalion. And every time they get to a point, one of the 9 says, Ya Rasulullah, you continue, I will stand and hold them off. Obviously what this means is like a suicide mission. I'm going to defend this position as much until I die. And so one by one, each Sahabi would say, okay, you guys go, I'm going to stand here and hold I'm going to hold my ground until he died. Eventually it was down to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and 2 defenders. Talha and Sa'ad. These are 2 of the 10 that promised Jannah. Sa'ad was an archer. And so the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, you stand behind me, Ya Rasulullah, I will shoot my arrows. And Talha said, I will go and I will defend with the sword. And on that day, they said Talha was the hero of the Battle of Uhud, because he took the blows with his body. Arrows and shots that came through, he dodged and defended until his arm became paralyzed completely. He lost his arm on the day of Uhud. So they said he was the hero on Uhud. One of the defenders, he was blocking the arrows with every part of his body until an arrow came by and he could only dodge it with his face. And so he blocked it with his face, subhanAllah, to hit the, before it hit the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But even the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not spared. He got two wounds to his face. One of the Quraysh's managed to get a sword that deflected and hit the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's armor that lodged into his cheek. And another Qurayshi managed to shoot an arrow that hit into his jaw and got stuck there in his tooth. Right? So the Nabi has two wounds on both sides. But as the point got so desperate, where it looked like the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to be overrun, the Sahaba managed to regroup and they managed to climb the mountain. And Alhamdulillah, many of the senior Sahaba, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Ali, they managed to arrive and hold the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and protect him. And this is, subhanAllah, that moment where, you know, side note here, when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got struck in the face, now you can imagine he's bleeding. There's an arrow on the one side and he gets hit with a sword on the other side. He says something out of his frustration. It's not usually his character. And he says to the Quraysh, how will, you know, I'm calling you to Jannah. I'm trying to bring you people to Jannah. How is it that Allah will ever forgive you for striking the face of your Prophet? How can Allah forgive you for this? And Allah, not now, but after the battle, Allah says to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنْ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ إِنْ فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. Allah says, O Muhammad, not for you is the decision who he should forgive or who he should punish. You don't get to say Allah's going to punish you or not. But this is the Rasul, subhanAllah. Allah is saying to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you don't have any right to say who I'm going to punish and who I'm going to forgive, but they are wrongdoers. Allah says, yes, what they did was wrong. But the mercy of Allah extends to whomever he wants, and the punishment of Allah extends to whoever he wants. And it's a very powerful lesson, subhanAllah, whenever we get into an argument over small things, Allah's going to punish you. You're going to Jahannam, you. Subhanallah. Allah says, you have no right to talk about Allah's mercy and his punishment. This is Allah telling his Rasul, what about us? All we can say is, ya Allah, please don't punish me. It's all we should be saying. And so, after the battle, the Muslims now retreated, subhanAllah, after having defeated the Quraysh. They retreated and they were on the mountain, cut and bloodied. Many of the Sahaba sustaining serious injuries. Many of them had serious wounds their whole life. Like says, Talha's arm became paralyzed after that. And over 70 of the Sahaba died at the Battle of Uhud. Now, 70, look at Bukhab, subhanAllah. If we have maybe 5-6 janazas on one day, it's a lot. Now, Bukhab is perhaps bigger than Medina was. Now, imagine 70 people in the Bukhab die on one day. That's every family lost someone, right? Every household lost a son, a father. Every household was crying. There were so many Sahaba that had died that they couldn't dig enough graves. So they had to share graves, 3-4 Sahaba in one grave. And just a beautiful point here, may Allah grant us this. When they were to dig the graves, they said, Ya Rasulullah, who should we put in the grave first? So they said, these 3 Sahaba, they're going into this grave. They said, who should we put in first? And Nabi said, who of them knew the most Quran? The one who knew the most Quran, the biggest hafid of them, he will go and he'll be the imam in the grave. So even in death, subhanAllah, hafid of Quran, or the person who knows the most Quran is honored. May Allah subhanAllah grant us to continue after Ramadan to recite the Quran. Speak to myself first. So after this battle, Sahaba obviously hurt. Many families lost someone they love. Even the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is injured, barely survived. And I'm sure the Sahaba should have felt, we made a mistake, Ya Allah, but surely our mistake is not as their mistake. They're kuffar. They want to kill the Prophet ﷺ. Why are we in this situation, Ya Allah? Where are you, Ya Allah? What happened? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals some ayat and we take lessons. And this is for every person that goes through hardship and every person who's going through difficulty. Allah says to us, Am hasibatum an tadkhulu al-jannah. Do you think, Allah says to every one of us, do you think you'll go to Jannah? Walamma ya'tikum. And it will not come to you, mathalu alladhina khalaw min qablikum. That you will not be tested and you will not go through the hardships as all the people been before you. Do you look at every single Nabi? They went through hardship. Every single, there was no exception. And every single good person of the past went through some kind of difficulty. Masatumul ba'sa wa darra. Allah said they were afflicted with hardship and suffering. Wazulzilu hatta yakul. And they were shaken and they were tested until a Rasul, not Muhammad, a Nabi, hatta Rasulul ladhina amanu ma'ahu, until a messenger, a prophet, the prophet that was with the believers, even he said, Mata Nasrullah. When will Allah's help come? That imagine a time, a group of people were tested so much that an Anbiya, a Rasul of the Rasul, says to Allah, when are you going to help us, Ya Allah? How much more can we endure? And Allah's response to him was, Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb. Don't worry. My help is close. It's always near. It's already there. Don't worry. Allah is not unaware of what's happening. What we see on social media is only a small glimpse of the real oppression. There are people whose suffering never makes it to the internet. There are people who just disappear, who are sitting locked up. No one knows what's being done to them behind closed doors. Allah knows what's happening to them. And Allah doesn't forget. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans, and He's always planning. And He knows to the best what He's going to do. And Allah says to us in our hardship, and He said to the people of Badr this, and to us as well, إِنْ يَمْسَسْكُمُ الْقَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. Allah says, so if you have suffered a defeat, if you're going through a hardship, then remember they also suffered similar defeats. You won some, and you've lost some. They also, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but you're still here, subhanAllah. Look at this ummah, 1,500 years. If I think of our community here in Cape Town, I always take a lot of inspiration from Tuan Guru Rahimullah. He must have felt like he utterly lost. He fought his whole life against the Dutch. He lost. He was taken from his family. He couldn't even bring a Quran with him. Right? His whole country was colonized, taken over by the Dutch. He must have thought, subhanAllah, Ya Allah, my life, I'm serving you. I can't even recite Quran, locked up in a jail. And then he came here, started from scratch, opened a masjid. Where's the Dutch now? Where's the British Empire? Where's apartheid? But his legacy is still here, subhanAllah. The legacy, subhanAllah. It's the victory. So, we ask, Ya Allah, Allah knows what He's doing. It's just for us to be firm and to remember. And Allah says that this is how, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And Allah says, and this is how we alternate victory and defeat among the people. And everything He does is with wisdom. And Allah may reveal, so that in this difficulty, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَى. And so Allah says, He wants, وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah says, when difficulty comes to you, it's a type of a test to see who of you are really believers. Who still believes in the hardship? When things are good, it's easy to believe. But when things are bad, are you still going to be believers? وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَى. And also, Allah wants to give some people the reward of being a shaheed. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. And remember, Allah will never side with the oppressor. Never. The oppressor is not going to win. He only has a leeway. And Allah says about the oppressor, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلٌ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Do not ever think that Allah is unaware of what the oppressors are doing. Don't think Allah doesn't know what they're doing, what they're planning in the White House, what they're planning in the strategy meetings. Allah knows what they're doing better than we know. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Allah says, I only give them respite until a day will come when they will stay in horror at what they have done. On that day, they will be running, looking around. Their eyes will be, their heads will be raised, and they will be completely shocked at the horror that before them in the day of on the day of Qiyamah. And their hearts will completely be empty. They have no hope now. Now they will be completely in terror. وَأَنذِرِ النَّاسِ. And Allah says, and warn mankind of the day when the punishment will overtake them, and the wrongdoers will cry. Right? So now these oppressors, all these dictators, they will cry, Ya Allah, رَبَّنَا أَخِرْنَا إِلَىٰ أَجْلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Oh Allah, give us just 5 minutes so that we can go back and we can be better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to them. It will be said to them, don't say what you're going to say now. Didn't you say that we will never be removed from this life into the next? Didn't you think you will stay here forever? Didn't you think that you will last, your armies and your empire will last forever? It's not going to last forever. And Allah says to them, وَسَكَنْتُمْ فِي مَسَاكِنِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ كَيْفَ فَعَلْنَا بِهِمْ وَضَرَبْنَا لَكُمُ الْأَمْثَالِ. SubhanAllah. And this is something especially for this government in Israel now. Allah says to them, and didn't you see what happened to oppressors like you in the past? Didn't you see what happened to them? Their end came. And we know of the oppressors in World War II, the Nazis. What happened to them? They lost. And you follow the same footsteps, subhanAllah. Meaning the result will be the same. Look at Fir'aun. Look at all these people. Allah says, you are living, you are inheriting the land after them. And you follow the same footsteps, you are going to get the same reward as they get. In the dunya, you will be disgraced. And in the akhirah, there is a severe, severe punishment. And the Prophet ﷺ says again, Verily Allah, this is for all of us when we ask, why are there so many dictators? Where is Allah? Verily Allah Almighty, He will give respite to the wrongdoers. He gives them a chance. until he seizes them. And when he takes hold of them, there is no chances after that, and there is no escape. وَكَذَلِكَ أَخَذُ رَبُّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةً إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ الْأَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. And such is the grabbing of Allah. When he takes hold of the oppressors and the cities they did wrong, verily his holding, his punishment is extremely severe, either in this dunya or in the akhirah. And there is no escape. There is no escape for them. As for us, for those of us who are weak, for those of us who have been, we're not defeated. We are maybe on our knees, but we've never given up. And subhanAllah, this is something in that, what is beautiful about the believer, and it's particularly the people of Palestine, these people have been oppressed, have been bombed, have been besieged, have been all the kind of terrors against them for 70 years, but they're still there. They're still there. What more? You have the fourth most powerful army in the world. You have nuclear weapons. And I saw this post. Have you ever seen the uniform of the Palestinian army? Has anyone seen it? No, because they don't have an army. So we have civilians, children, students, daddies, mommies, fighting against the fourth most powerful army in the world. And they can't win. SubhanAllah. They can't win. This is with all the cards on your side, with all the power on your side, and you can't defeat this little tiny group of people. Imagine when things turn and Allah gives them the izzah. Imagine what's going to happen. So Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, isbiru. Have patience. Patient, bear with us. Through difficulty, be patient. Wasabiru, and endure. What does this mean? Outdo them. So it's an endurance. They are struggling to defeat you. They are fighting. You are fighting. Outdo them. You wait. Don't give in. Eventually, you have what they don't have. You have something inside them that they don't have. You know, many of these settlers who come from all over the world, they get paid to live there. If you ask them, put your life on the line for this, they will leave. They'll go, I'll go back to New York. I'm not going to die for this. Palestinians are willing to die. Now, when you're fighting an enemy that is willing to die, you can't win. There's a line that you're not willing to cross. And that is, subhanAllah, the lesson that, you know, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu, when he became the Saifullah, when he fought his battles, many of the enemies asked him, how is it that you are so successful? He basically said to them, I'm bringing you and people who want to die. They want shahada. You fighting to live, they fighting to die. So there's no way you can win. No matter what weapon you bring out, there's a line we are willing to cross that you're not willing to cross. And so Allah says, be patient when you're going through difficulty. Wasabiru, and endure. No matter how much, no matter what they pummel you with, we're going to stand until he can't pummel you anymore. Warabitu, and remain stationed. And remain firm and stationed and prepare. It's not just about taqwa, but do everything in your power. Wattaqullah. And ultimately, put your faith in Allah. La'allakum tuflihun. Allah, it is Allah's will that you will be successful. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a promise from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. So don't lose heart. Don't feel sad. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and don't grieve. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, and you will always have the upper hand. إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are believers, if you are true believers, you will know that this is just a bend in the river. You just know that this is one step in the story. At the end, we know we will be successful. But it's part of the journey. This is just one bump in the road. The road isn't finished. Story isn't done. Allah promises you will be successful. In yansurukumullah. Allah says that if He helps you, فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah helps you, then there's none who can overcome you. If you have Allah on your side, no army, no bomb, no power can defeat you. وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي. And if he abandons you, but if you turn away and Allah turns away from you, then who is going to help you? وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And so let the believers put their trust in Allah. We say, Ya Allah, we will take your guidance and we take your trust. We will do what you say we need to do. And we believe at the end, you will grant us success. The last ayah, and this is at the end of Badr, at the end of Uhud, when the Quraysh was about to come back. So the Muslims are all bruised and beaten and hurt. The Quraysh were thinking, should we fight again or should we go back to Makkah? And they said, look, we haven't. Our job was to kill Muhammad, and he's still alive. So let us go and fight a second time. And so now the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, guys, who of us is going to go back and face them? If they want a round two, we'll give them a round two. Now many of the Sahaba are defeated. They, you know. So The Sahaba, of course, of people of true iman, they got ready. Okay, we're going to go down and fight again. And they were, of course, the munafiqs, the hypocrites, the cowards. They said, "Alladhina qala lahum an-nas," when the people said to them, "An-nasu qad jama'u lakum fakhshawhum," the people have come against you, so fear them, be scared of them. You're going to die, you're going to lose. Look at all the enemies. You've got America, you've got nuclear bombs, you've got, give up. There's no way you're going to win. And as for the believer, when they hear this talk, فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا, the iman only increased. The iman only got stronger. وَقَالُوا, and they said to these people, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, Allah is enough for me. No matter what they have, I have Allah. No matter what power they have, I have Allah. And Allah is the best if I put my trust in. Then I have everything. And subhanAllah, this Jamaatul Muslimin is our attitude. We don't just simply, making dua is good, it's the most important thing. The most important thing is for us to connect our relationship with Allah. We are part of the ummah. What we do here in South Africa is part of this body. Our iman, our taqwa is part of it. Our du'as is part of it. And inshallah, we obviously then take proactive steps. It's not just about du'a. We obviously have to go and fight the battle. We obviously have to go onto the field. And so in coming weeks and days, inshallah, we'll talk about the next steps and other points in this. But these ayat is for us to remember that if we have Allah, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. If Allah is with us, then there's none that can defeat us. And sufficient is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a protector. I mean, may Allah protect all the oppressed people of the world. May Allah make it easy for those who are going through hardships in this dunya. May Allah make it easy for those who are sick and those who are suffering. On that note, a lot of announcements, all COVID related, subhanAllah. The first thing is that, as you know, unfortunately the numbers are escalating. And very likely we are in a third wave, would be announced we're in a third wave. And as that, we as the masjid are monitoring the situation. And subhanAllah, and I ask and I appeal everyone, take the precautions, especially in the Bukab. A number of families have been infected. May Allah grant them shifa, those who are sick, and maghfirah, some have died. May Allah grant them jannatul firdaus. So please take the precautions and be strict. I know you want to shake hands, hug and all that. Be careful with that. Bring your masks. And so we make dua for specific people. Subhanallah, Munata Karan, the Mufti of Cape Town, him and his wife are sick. They have been tested positive with COVID. Already his brother, rahimullah, passed away because of COVID. So we make dua that Allah preserves Mawlana Taha, the servant of the deen, servant of this ummah. May Allah preserve him and his wife and keep them safe and grant them a full recovery. We know Auntie Habiba Wiener, who is in Church Street. She's in ICU. The family have been called in because of COVID. This is very serious. May Allah make dua. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa'a. May Allah grant it to recover out of this situation. And also, subhanAllah, our brother, Uncle Hassan, Ismail's dad, the family is tested positive. Uncle Hassan and his wife, you don't see them in the masjid. I mean, they're always in the masjid. They've tested positive. And so they've also asked to keep them in our du'as. May Allah grant them a complete recovery. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi. Islam wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.